all blessings flow. This morning concludes our six-week journey on transforming evangelism. And certainly the fact that it is Palm Sunday certainly puts an exclamation point on our talk about evangelism and sharing the good news. And in many respects, the people that you just saw here today have been reached out to by some of you in various ways and means, and have been invited into God's family in a special way today. And more importantly, into the kingdom of God as they continue their spiritual journey. We remember today on Palm Sunday that it is a remembrance of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the last week of his life before he was crucified. The week where that began with hosannas and praises to shouts of crucify him by the end of the week. But all of this is part and parcel of the good news that you and I are called to share as God's people, as evangelists, if you will. Today we look at our final look, I should say, at transforming evangelism in the Wesleyan tradition, which is identified as sharing the good news in relationship with those in whom we reach to seek for Christ. And the key word there from a Wesleyan perspective on evangelism is relationship. Relationship. That is the key to effective evangelism. And that relationship is couched in our scripture today, which comes from Matthew 22, verses 34 to 39. One day a lawyer asked Jesus a question. A Pharisee who was an expert in the law, a lawyer of his day, came up to Jesus and wanted to catch Jesus off guard. He wanted to trap Jesus. And he wanted to get Jesus in such a position where he could be discredited. And so the lawyer asked him a question. Now, if you know anything about lawyers, and there may be some lawyers among us here today, a lawyer never asks a question unless the lawyer already knows the answer. And so this was no exception. This Pharisee asked Jesus a question. He knew very well what the answer was. He said, "Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And in verse 37, Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." But Jesus takes it one step further, doesn't he? And he says, "And the second greatest commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. And in these two commandments, the greatest and the second greatest commandment, all of the law that the Pharisees represented, all of the law of Moses, and all of the teachings of the prophets are fulfilled in these two commandments. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. And that is the essence of what we share when we share our faith in Jesus Christ with others. Someone once asked John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, "What is a Methodist? What makes one a Methodist?" And John Wesley responded, "One who has the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost given unto him." The love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Spirit. They would say Holy Ghost in that day. And that love shed abroad is none other than the love of God and love of neighbor that Jesus is talking about here today in the greatest and the second greatest commandment. You're probably wondering, "Preacher, why have we spent 6 weeks talking about evangelism? Why do we spend 6 weeks talking about money and spending?" It's because it's important. It was important to Jesus. It should be important to us. we spend this many weeks on evangelism because evangelism is our response as God's people to God's love, peace, assurance, and forgiveness. That we may share these things with others. That they too may know God's love, forgiveness, compassion, and grace, and peace. We are called to share it. And this holy week, this week that leads up to the highest holy day in the Christian on the Christian calendar, and for all Christians, it's even bigger than Christmas, Easter Sunday. The week that leads up to that is a culmination of God's love for all of us. As we close this six-week study of evangelism, I'd like you to take away from this study three things, and you've even got space on the back of your bulletin cover, the three R's that I'd like you to remember. And no, it doesn't mean reading, writing, and arithmetic. Three things I want you to take away from this study to help you in your evangelistic efforts, to help you in your faith sharing, and to help you not be afraid of sharing the gospel with those that you meet. Because I think that's what keeps a lot of us from sharing our faith, is fear. We ought not be a-fearing, as somebody used to say. Loving God and neighbor in the Wesleyan way means these three things. Number one, reflecting God's love to others. Reflecting God's love to others. To share the love of God and love of neighbor means we are willing to reflect God's image to others. And although the image of God that we were created in was distorted by sin, and is distorted by sin every day because we are sinners and we sin every day, that image needs restoring every day through repentance by God's grace. That distorted image can be renewed and reflected to others. Well, how do we restore the image that we know is distorted by our sin? How are we supposed to reflect a distorted image of God? Only by God's grace. And the Bible teaches us that the way we can renew this image that we are created in, Paul writes about in Philippians chapter 2. And Paul says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Well, what does Paul mean to have the mind of Christ? Paul was saying that we should concentrate and reflect and let our lives be couched in the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the sympathy of Christ, the humility of Christ, and the obedience of Christ. Those are the things that we are to emulate, to reflect to others. If we look at ourselves as mirrors of God's love and compassion and God's humility and God's Christ's obedience and sympathy, we are reflecting the true nature of God to the people we're witnessing to. We're called to reflect God's love, not to scare people into the kingdom. Many people use scare tactics and manipulation and judgment to scare people into a relationship with God. I don't know about you, but that wouldn't work with me. That would make me run the other way. I would rather reflect God's love and compassion and sympathy and all the other wonderful attributes of God. To me, that would attract me more so than scare tactics and manipulation. But you see, our reflecting of that image is not just individual, it is communal as well. Churches are called to reflect God's love and grace and compassion as well through inviting people through hospitality. Our evangelism committee has realized this many months ago when we began the welcome kits that we give out to everybody to welcome them and to show what's going on here, what God is up to at Bethel Church. We give them a coffee mug just as a small token of our appreciation for them to come and to experience God's love. We're to meet strangers, to go up to strangers, people that we don't know, and introduce ourselves and make them feel warmly welcome. Every one of these new members that I met with, that you met today, almost all of them, if not all of them, said we were treated so warmly And we were welcomed warmly by kind and friendly people. And that is a gift, folks, because many churches you walk into, it's not that way. I commend you, Bethel Church, for your warmth and your hospitality, which was going on before I got here. You guys know how to do hospitality, but there's always room for improvement. We can always do more. We can always go on to perfection. We want the church to be like that song from Cheers, where everyone knows your name. Remember that old show, the Cheers? That song, where everyone knows your name. I'm not expecting you to know everybody's name. Heck, I can't even do that. But we can know somebody's name. We can try to remember different people and try to remember their names. We want the church to be a place where everyone knows your name. What kind of image are we reflecting to others? Secondly, we can love God and neighbor in the Wesleyan way by reporting what God's done in our lives. Reporting what God's done in our lives. Folks, whether we like it or not, we are called to be ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is one who goes on behalf of a country to another country to represent that country. We are called to represent Christ wherever we go, to be heralds for Christ, to tell of God's transforming love, to tell others about the transformation that has taken place in our lives, about how we were once lost, but now we are found, how we were blind, but now we see. Real life living examples of God's transformation.